live from the worst museum in the galaxy. It's a wheezing, groaning sound, the only podcast ever about a little show called Doctor Who. And today we're visiting a space museum, standing behind the red rope, keeping our hands to ourselves and reading the little plaques. I'm Tom Neenan, and joining me at... It should have been a joke.
Yeah.
Really,
that's
ideally.
Why I started laughing.
Yeah.
It's because I've rewritten it.
See, I had to check you had written it because I thought, is he making this up as he goes?
I thought you were having a stroke.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Keep going.
Shall I go again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
Why not?
Live from the worst museum in the galaxy, it's a wheezing, groaning sound. Categorically, fuck.
What?
Oh, I'm going to have a go at William Hartnell for not being able to deliver his lines. Mm. And I am going to be a big old hypocrite.
The irony is...
Okay, third time's a charm.
Third time's going to be so charming, people are going to be charmed by it. Live from the worst museum in the galaxy, it's a wheezing, groaning sound. The only podcast in existence about the popular television series, Doctor Who. And today we're visiting the Space Museum. We'll be standing behind the red rope. We'll be keeping our hands to ourselves and reading a little plaque that tells us what we're looking at, which is a not very good Doctor Who story. I'm Tom Neenan, and joining me are two men who always love visiting the gift shop and getting a little rubber for their novelty pencils. It's Mr. Paul Litchfield, Mr. John Ray.
Hello.
I'm assuming all of that's going to stay in.
Yes.
Yeah, let's leave it all.
Yeah, yeah.
People
like knowing what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'll cut out all the racist bits.
After the nuclear holocaust, and this is the only surviving evidence of mankind, aliens will go,
Send this to bloody Vija, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Make a bald lady out of it.
Other things. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah.
I've had a thought.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's that?
What was that until and the day the people who watched the Space Museum, please?
Who's this new character who's wandering into the studio?
He's a little fella.
Love him. Was there anything on? Of course there was something on. There's lots on, by the way, boys. It is Saturday the 24th of April and it's 1965.
Wow.
Heady
there
time.
Was no such time, surely. 1965. Programs began on BBC One at 10:15 with This Planet Earth, an intro to geology. So just in the 60s, 70s, you always wake up in the morning and you're immediately got factual programme, isn't it? There's no like easing in with a bit of entertainment. Facts.
No accommodating for a hangover, is there?
No. After that, of course, friend of the show, Commit.
Oh, yes.
We've had Commit many times. This is episode 16. Heidi and Dieter take a tram ride.
Oh.
Tell you what, a lot of teenagers in their top drawer have got a Commit, haven't they?
A Commit. Does mum have to wash it every month? Oh, I'll do that separate.
Why does the sock sound like a packet of crisps?
Heavily soiled, that goes on the washing machine.
After that was Grandstand, of course, from 12:45 until 5:15, Grandstand.
Jesus,
bloody
1978.
Oh, dear. After that was Jukebox Jury.
Oh,
really?
With one of the guests is Val Dunican.
Oh. Rubber balloons, rubber balloons,
rubber balloons.
Won't somebody buy my rubber balloons?
Rubber balloons. That's our Val Dunicans.
Very good.
Well, mine was Benny Hill doing Val Dunican.
Yours was Benny Hill, yeah. Rubber balloon. was he a whistler as well, or is that someone else? That was Roger Whittaker.
That was Roger Whittaker.
Yeah. That's Roger Whittaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. There are other guests, but they don't tell us who they are.
Well,
maybe it's just they're all Val Dunican cloned.
Or like the clumps. Like he's in all different costumes and things.
There's a fat Val Dunican.
Yeah.
Hercules.
Chinese Val Dunican. You're like, Val, no.
Val.
Sorry, Val.
He's like,
rubber, rubber, rubber. Val.
After Jukebox Jury, 22:06. Doctor Who.
Ooh.
The Space Museum, Part 1.
That's correct.
The Space Museum.
Mm.
There is a write-up, Tom.
Thank you.
Exploring a museum on the planet Zeros, the travellers discover they are invisible. The Doctor deduces that the TARDIS has jumped a time track and can see their own future.
My God, that's accurate.
I mean, it's sort of like everything in the Space Museum. It's sort of, they're not invisible. It doesn't quite is it, you have to sort of think, is that what actually happened? Or okay, yeah.
And you go, oh, this is kind of interesting thing that they don't quite know what it is.
Mm. Don't get into the episode yet. Sorry, we're doing TV listings.
Sorry, all right.
Oh, by the way, Tom, thanks for the polos. Yeah.
No problem. Why not have a polo if you're listening at home, just to get the full sensory experience?
Why did John get the full pack and we got the half pack?
Well, I put it in the middle so everyone can have some.
This is to this side, so I would have figured...
we'll swap them round. Look, full
pack and I'll have No.
It's because I like to... I presented my little dongle thing that we need to record this.
Tom brings us his dongle every week.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. And the polos together as a little treat.
Oh.
As
always the provider.
Does your dongle have an auxiliary smell of mint because of the proximity to the polos?
I wish.
Do you have a minty dongle? Well, it's better than a beefy one, isn't it? No one wants a beefy dongle. Imagine going to Apple going, listen, my dongle's very beefy. Mm. What are you going to do about it?
This is the beefiest bar.
have you ever been to the Apple store and they've got like, they've got an upstairs bit which is like to help with stuff. Mm,
yeah.
And it's called something like the Contiki Lounge. And you're like, just enough already.
So I've got a really old Mac that is useless. I can't do anything. And what I really want to do is like run it over with a car and like smash it up and then take it to the Genius Bar and just present it as like, so, and like, absolutely not sort of nod to it and just go, so can you help me with this? And just see how far I can get.
People working in there probably won't know what it is because it's so old.
That's
probably
true.
That's the thing. Born. I remember bringing in like the second version of the iPod, you know, just for music in. And I took it to the Genius Bar and the guy literally went, not seen one of these for a very long time. They're 2 years old. They are 2 years old.
Don't have any gramophones.
Fucking heads to doofus.
It's more like you're on Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, it's literally like, oh, this is run by Steam, does it? No. Oh, God. Anyway. So that was Doctor Who. And that was great.
Great.
After that was The Flying Swan. Don't know what it is. No write-up. But the episode's called Angel Face. Don't know what it is. There's no write-up. But
let's
flying
imagine,
swan.
Shall we?
Let's imagine the Flying Swan.
Flying Swan, I reckon it's a policeman called Swan who works for the Flying Squad.
Oh, no. Swan?
Yeah. So it's all fly bet. He's all like, he has to land. He lands on crime.
He's a fly. He's also, he can also fly.
I've told you before, Swan, Buckingham Palace is off limits.
That's good. Get in here, Swan!
Who do you think you are, Swan? I know you're protected by the Queen. That doesn't stop you from breaking rules.
Swan, if you fly over Greenham Common again, those lesbian protesters will shoot you out of the sky! I don't know why his boss is from there.
He's borrowed from America.
He's borrowed from American police.
Today, Swan breaks a man's arm.
Very good. And then dies of lead poisoning at the end. No, this episode's Angel Face, isn't it? So I reckon there's a guy who's like, Angel Face!
Chicago mobster's in town.
Oh!
Angel Face. He's like, you'll never get me.
He's got a baby's head.
He's got a baby's head.
But a man's body.
You'll never get me, Swan.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, you'll never get me, Swan, because I've got in my helicopter. And Swan's like, ah, there's something you don't know about me.
I can fly, but Swan flies through the rotary blades and dies.
That's the last of the series.
Babyface dies because they've been bird struck.
That's good. By swans!
Yeah.
By swans.
Bird strike by swans.
God, he's like Ant-Man. He can call on swans as well.
Is
that what he did to poor Sully Sullenberg?
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
He's like Watu Watu.
Summon Sully Sullenberg, he proved one thing that, you know, it's all plain sailing, isn't it?
Flying Swan, Angel Face. Only on BBC One. After that was a Benny Hill show. But this is 1965, Benny. So this is not necessarily the Hell's Angels yet.
No, Yakety Sax.
It's not heavily boob-based yet.
He did a lot of, at this point...
He might be doing Rubber Balloon.
No, that was colour, wasn't it? So that's probably...
Okay.
It might be, but at this point he was doing like subversion comedy, wasn't he?
He was
doing like Jukebox Jury, for instance, where he played all the guests.
Playing with cameras and stuff as well. Mm. Cut to camera one! Everyone thinks Kenny Everett was the person who did it. It's not. Benny Hill did it years
And doing
before.
Jokes like, what's this thing called love? What's this thing called love?
Lovely.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But then he started going all boobs.
Boobs.
He just got into the pussy.
Famously, that's his era.
Didn't see that coming at all. After Benny Hill was Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
this might be Peter Cushing.
I don't think it is.
No.
The episode was called Charles Augustus Milvington.
That's the episode.
The case of Charles Augustus Milvington.
Milvington, more like.
Hello.
Sherlock Holmes. That sort of character, I think.
Now, Mr. Holmes, someone's been going around London hunting MILFs.
The MILF hunter struck again, Watson.
Oh, my God.
Must stop Mrs. Hudson from being milfed. Whatever that means.
Can I get your tea, sir? My God, she's covered. No.
You know how the Basil Rathbone ones, because they were filmed during the war,
yeah,
they all had to end with Sherlock Holmes sort of with a hopeful kind of
PSA type.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. Make sure you buy war bonds, Watson. Yeah. War bonds.
Mm. And he like, well, Watson would go, well, it was a rum deal for all those MILFs, wasn't it? He goes, I don't know, Watson, I dream of a day when all MILFs can walk around and feel safe in their homes. I think that day's round the corner, Watson.
He farted on my ration book home.
Well, I hope for all of our shaken homes you're correct. Goodbye, everybody. Let's hope that old Hitler has a heart attack.
That's how they all ended.
Yeah,
how everyone ended.
That's how people used to say goodbye during the war.
That's how they used to end the news as well. Goodbye. And the Skype, no.
And finally.
And finally. Hitler has a heart attack. That's the shipping forecast. Word up, bitch! And then he used to go, beep. Yeah.
That was Lord Haw-Haw.
Yeah, it was Lord Haw-Haw. He was great. So that was Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Charles Augustus Millington in the case of the hideous MILF, whatever it is. After that was Hollywood's Funny Man, documentary about Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin.
Hooray!
Wow. So they still make that these days, so it's timeless telly.
Yeah, that those Hollywood greats, that sort of thing.
Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin.
Keaton or Chaplin? Mm. I'm going to go straight down. I'm a Keaton boy.
Keaton, yeah.
Okay.
Keaton boy. What about yourself? Chaplin boy or Keaton boy? Don't think about it.
Oh, no.
Stop thinking.
Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's that thing that we had between... Because Charlie Chaplin has a bit of that Norman Wisdom thing we've discussed, where he'll go a bit, don't laugh at me, because I'm a fool.
Yeah, I'm a little tramp.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I'm just a little tramp.
I'm just a filthy little stealing tramp. Yeah.
And then everyone says, isn't it amazing in The Great Dictator, that speech he does? And it's him going, don't be a fascist.
Yeah. Don't be naughty.
Yeah. All right.
I wonder where he plucked that fucking great speech from. Tell you what, chap, shut up again. That's where you do your best. Yeah.
Buster Keaton is when I used to give the guy who played Batman a hand job. That was the...
Sorry, what? What?
That's what I used to call it.
Oh, a little peek through the curtains there, ladies and gentlemen. Tom's life.
His son, of course, was Buster Rhymes.
Yeah.
And later on, Buster Blood Vessel.
Yeah.
Imagine if Buster Blood Vessel was Buster Rhymes' dad. What Christmas would be like.
Yeah.
Staring at each other from afar.
Him can around the table.
Because Buster Rhymes' mum is Leanne Rhymes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
And she was married to Buster Blood Vessel.
She was married to Buster Blood. They met Alexandra Palace during a Scar concert.
With, what was that guy's name who did Little By Blue? Who was the guy who used to do Scar and reggae, but he was a big fat white man? And
That was Buster Blood Vessel, wasn't it?
No, there's another one who was like Doctor something. Oh, write in, viewers. I'm sorry.
Doctor Voice. Doctor Singleton.
Doctor John?
Was it Dr. John?
No, Dr. Hook, no.
He was white and he used to talk and he was going, and he was like, he was.
Oh, I know exactly who you mean now. He was all
rude.
Like, boom, 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 boom. Man, and I'm white, and I'm white. Look like KFC Colonel. Yeah, I remember him.
No, I don't remember him.
He was your dad.
Oh, I should remember him.
You should remember that, shouldn't you? Anyway, that was Hollywood's Funny Man. And after that was One Good Turn, which just says this, with Ted Ray on his Todd.
Oh,
Ted Ray's a laugh.
Ted Ray on his Todd. But I don't know what that is, One Good Turn, whether it's a comedy show.
It's a comedy show because Ted Ray was a comedian.
I don't like Ted Ray.
No, but a good name for a show, and it Ray's a laugh.
He was Grand Master of the Water Rats, was he?
Yes, he was.
Yes, and Grand Master of the Water Rats, was he?
He gave Peter Sellers his first.
Did he?
Yes.
And let me guess, Peter Sellers went to his.
Well, you see, Peter Sellers
dressed as a penguin.
Peter
and
Sellers phoned his office and got put through and did the voice of Hitler, and they were like, "Bloody hell, he's good."
Yeah,
anyone could do Hitler.
He didn't really do Hitler.
Hello, Hitler.
The real story is he did Kenneth Horne's voice, and they thought it was Kenneth Horne.
Sign on the door said,
and then they said, "Wow, you're good. Have a job." And then he came in, and he looked like a crab.
We could not believe it. We actually thought there was a crab in the room. 5 minutes later, Peter came in and said it had been him. Follow that, innit?
Yeah,
turned up. We thought he was an 190-year-old man, but no, it was Peter Sellers.
I always remember that the Harry Secombe's act when he first died. He did a shaving act where he went on stage and shaved.
What?
Yeah, just me.
Imagine doing that these days.
So I mean, you fucking get away with anything. Yeah.
Well, it's the kind of thing Stuart Lee always says that, like, you know, back in the early days of variety, there was a guy who used to like melt ice on stage. You don't get that anymore because people like good stuff.
Because people like comedy. It's like, what's his name? Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
He mimed to Mighty Mouse theme.
Yeah. Well, good enough, isn't
exhausting,
it?
Isn't it? No, I mean, just, exhausting.
And he does the whole thing as well.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there watching a man sing for mime for 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You might as well get fucking Tom Holland's umbrella.
And then goes, then realises he's so light on fucking material. He goes, I want to take you on now for milk and cooking. Mm. How tedious must that have been?
Yeah. I always
best thing he died,
just like
you know?
400 at the back going, come on, I know. That's this what is I just tedious. Mm.
You know that thing where he reads out the whole of the novel? What is it? The
Great Gatsby.
Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
All I ever think about is like the janitor who wants to close up and is like, oh, okay, right.
Yeah,
good. He's exactly. Doing that, is he? So I can't go home because I've got to lock up the venue after he's finished. Thank you very much, Andy Kaufman. But he's so crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there's Andy Kaufman taking down a peg or two.
Yeah.
Finally.
Harry Secombe.
Yeah.
And Ray. Ted Ray.
Ted Ray.
Remember the water out of Ray. Anyway, that was one good term with Ted Ray.
Of course.
On BBC Two, programmes roared into action at 5 to 7pm.
Oh, dear.
It's 1965, isn't it? Yeah. With the news.
The news.
Just for 5 minutes, though.
65.
Should have been the noose, because they were still hanging people there.
Yes, that's good.
Should have been an update of who's been hung
and
there.
And there it is.
Oh, today on the noose.
It's a good clean break. Very good.
Good clean break there.
Fancy lady. Fancy that.
The news for 5 minutes. And then, match of the day. I mean, you've just had Grandstand on all fucking day. God, BBC Two. No, you got Match of the Day now.
Match of the Day.
Oh,
it was actually
dear.
Just a match they used to light things.
Right.
It was the match that lit the fuse at the start of Mission Impossible.
Impossible.
But obviously, it didn't actually.
And they interview it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was on strike.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. After Match of the Day was The World of Richard Rodgers.
Nope.
No idea. But I love this. Sorry, Polo.
Polo
clicking on teeth. I do apologise. I love this. Do you remember in the 70s and 80s, they used to do at the end of shows, and Lala will be appearing at the...
Yeah.
That never happens anymore, does it?
No.
I've got news on that.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Well, someone mentioned Carl Howman. Tweet Carl Howman's on Twitter.
Right.
You know, Jacko from Brookshire.
Jacko.
Jacko. Someone tweeted him saying, oh, I saw you in blah, 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 whatever it was. I think it was like Run For Your Wife, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I tweeted him and said, oh, I remember this. You'll always be at the end of Brushstrokes. And Carl Howman is appearing in. And he tweeted me back and said, that was the last time the BBC approved that.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was him. That's
so
brilliant.
After that, they never let them advertise their pantos anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
I loved all that.
Yeah.
That's really good
fun.
Did
it just get sad? Did it become like, you know, so-and-so is appearing in a shop doorway?
Yeah, they should do it now in the news. And Vladimir Putin will be appearing in Run For Your Wife at the Palace Theatre, Croatia.
And Benny Hill will be appearing in his living room dead. From now.
Be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Pol Pot will be appearing in Little Red Riding Hood. Wherever he's preferring.
Well, it'll be little Khmer Rouge.
Oh, there you go.
Little Red Riding Book.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. Little Red Riding. Yeah, no, it's been done. Just then. So The World of Richard Rodgers, it just says, something I really miss. But I presume that's a quote from what it is.
Yeah.
It's, no
something
context.
Something I really miss.
Having a good old... No. anyway.
A poo and a piss.
Anyway, then it says, Sven Svensson, brilliant, is appearing in Little Me at the Cambridge Theatre, London.
Aww.
I love all that. It's so sweet, isn't it?
Little Me.
Aww.
I'm Little Me.
Poor Little Me.
Oh, just a little me. Try
People
to get along.
I'm very little, and I'm not even me. The end. You sort of fucking thing Norman Wisdom would pull out 42 minutes in the film. All I wanted to do was be a big man, but I'm little me.
I wanted to help the orphan.
I got picked up by a worm because I'm that small.
I don't know if I mentioned, but I had a very sad childhood.
Fuck off, Pipkin.
Little me. Is that when he gets beaten up by Mr. Grimsdale?
Literally heavily beaten by the face and neck. Yeah, bruised. actually quite sad.
Mr. Grimsdale! Oh,
poor Mr. Grimsdale having to care for Norman Wisdom. I assume he's his carer.
I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
I think I've mentioned it on this pod before, but there is a great documentary which I can't find, which is about Norman Wisdom's family.
Oh right.
In the winter of his life, having to look after him and what fucking nuisance he was.
That way he's like staring at children trying to make them laugh, but they're going, Dad. Just looks like yew tree's going to come around really soon.
He keeps on just like climbing the walls and stuff, and they're just like.
So he's like that monkey walls. Priest from Father's
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He's climbing the walls and he's pissed himself.
Throwing books off the top.
Yeah.
He tripped when he got his knighthood, didn't he? That was fun.
Yeah, he did. That was fun.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Not as good as Blake Edwards getting his Oscar when he comes past in the wheelchair on the stage. Oh, just smashes through the set. That's brilliant.
Do I remember when Norm Wisdom got put, I've probably told this on the podcast, sorry everyone listening, but when he got put in a home and he used to just go on the piano all day.
Aww.
And I bet everyone was like, oh fucking shut up, I've come here to die. Let me have peace.
It was all right though, because it was the same home as Mr. Trebus, and he slowly stole the keys off the piano.
Well, he looked in the piano, it was just stuffed full of mattresses and garden gnomes. Imagine Norman on the piano. Oh, little me trying to get by in life. You're all like, that was give him his, more fucking pills.
Last of Summer Wine, wasn't he? He was a pianist in Last of Summer Wine. He would only play like a minute's worth of stuff and then he didn't have any more.
I think older actors are missing Last of Summer Wine. It was a nice little...
Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it?
For them, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a lovely thing to do on their way to the graveyard, wasn't it?
Because it's cursed, that show, because you name me someone who was in it is still alive.
It's like the Second World War. Anyone still alive. Second World War is cursed.
I think we should be conscripted to go in Last of Summer Wine.
Oh, I was conscripted when I was young.
Do national service in Last of Summer Wine. Go down here in a bar.
Countries, loads of countries do it. Loads of countries in Europe do it as well. Like, well right, you're 17, wine. 18, join the army. Imagine that.
Imagine going to be in...
They did it here till the 60s.
Probably still doing it.
I might consider being in the Navy. All the boys together on the sky, adventures on the seas.
You get those great adverts in the cinema, don't you? I was raised in Newcastle, but I was taught in the Royal Navy.
I grew up in a shat part of the world, but then I went out and got called on a boat.
I fled the fucking north, like, and I went even northerner.
I'd only ever seen a whippet, but now I've seen a dolphin. Join the Navy.
I didn't know what fucking jam was. The concept of it. Then I went to France and saw some jam. Thanks, Army Navy.
I've only ever had crumpet and now I've had a croissant.
Yeah. I was made in the Navy.
I was born in Blythe, but I saw...
I used to wake up and eat motorbikes because I was mad. But now, I don't do that. Thanks, Army Navy, you made me who I am today.
If I can fix a car, then I can have lots of wires and I know what to do with
one.
The wires.
Yeah, that one. If you can wipe your bum, you can wipe someone else's bum. If you can wipe someone else's bum, you can do this panic room. Yeah, I hate those adverts so much.
Yeah. Quite patronising is what we're saying, isn't it?
That's what we're saying.
It's quite patronising.
Yeah. And there's always shots of them playing hard as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's always one looking very thoughtful up a cliff or a scree.
Yeah. And they've got mates, that's the thing. Yeah, they were mates. Lonely before, but now they've got goddamn mates.
I was fucking awful when I was young. I still am. And now I'm with loads of other people who are equally fucking awful.
And then you get the Marines adverts, they're like, you never see them coming. Yeah. Bloody hell, lads. Calm down.
Are the Marines more for poshos? Is it like...
Maybe.
They'll snap your cock off.
Absolutely, but you got nothing to bloody do, but want to, you know.
Marines be one of those, if you meet them, like, yeah, I'm afraid I can't talk to you about that in front of civvies. They do all that shit. Like, you know, adjusting to civvy life is quite hard for Marines.
I have to kill you.
Yeah, I have to kill you. Go, please do.
Isn't like Ant Middleton in the Marines, or is he in the SAS?
Oh, what? Who's Ant Middleton?
Isn't he that SAS Extreme Survival Man?
Oh, is he?
I thought it was went Ant from Ant and Dec.
No, that was Ant Man.
Ant-Man.
He was obviously blinded when he was in the Marines by a paintball.
Very sad story.
Yeah,
I'm blind.
It's a very sad story.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the world of Richard Rodgers. After that was Cinema 625.
Okay.
A film called The Lady Without Camellias.
Camellias.
Camellias. An Italian film with subtitles, it says. So I presume it's, oh, no, I don't have any camellias.
What's a camellia?
It's a flower.
Oh.
Yeah. But have you both never heard of camellias?
Come, 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 camellia.
I remember Mike Reed was in that 70s series called The Camellias.
Yeah, I tell you what, bees, they always want your fucking nectar, didn't they?
Then you'd run around. You'd run around with the camellias. Grow! Did all that. And it's, you've never heard of camellias?
Charles thought she was a vampire running around, wasn't he?
Hey, have you seen the one? Have you heard the one about the camellias? Mm. Oh! You put the water in, they grow higher. That's what they do with the camellias.
Who's that?
That's Frank Carson.
That's Frank Carson.
It's weird, tell him.
I saw him live in Butlins.
Have I told you my Frank Carson story?
No, go on.
I was a runner on a TV show, and I was sat next to Frank Carson, and then I needed to get... No, but I needed to get out of somewhere, so I sort of had to crawl through a bit of a grating thing, and Frank Carson watched it. And went, oh Jesus! That's it.
Oh Jesus!
I couldn't comprehend it.
No. He used to do some. I know that he used to do some great jokes though. Like really good joke.
Apparently, it was the way he told them, wasn't it?
He said that he just had a new set of teeth put in, and they were so expensive, he has to sleep with his head in the safe.
Bless. I saw him do a two-hander with grot bags.
Oh wow! What sexually?
No, she was on first, like singing "Windmills of Your Mind" and all that, and then talking about her life as grot bags to a group of adults, going, "What? Who gives a shit?"
I thought you had gangrene.
The comedian Nathaniel Metcalfe. Who sort of is a big fan of all this stuff. His grot bag story is that apparently when they cancelled Rod Nemu, Rod Hull came in, turned to grot bags and went, "Your gravy train's ending."
Holy shit! That's fucking bleak. Throwing shade
That's
like that.
So fucking awful. I'm glad he fell off that roof.
Just in the corner crying before going on.
Also, I love the idea that being grot bags is like, she's just raking in the money.
Your gravy.
Or maybe he meant the canteen.
Yeah. She'd had it fitted into the
Maybe
studio.
That's the way to get to the pink window is actually on the gravy train.
Yeah.
Imagine thinking that being on the Rod Hull show is a gravy train.
Yeah, imagine the money she's on.
Yeah.
£200.
If that.
An episode.
And you have to paint the fucking woman green as well.
And that, that with lead paint.
Definitely gives you every kind of illness under the sun on
Has
that.
Has anyone looked into the fact that maybe grot bags pushed the fucker off the roof?
They did it like Goldfinger, though. They didn't have to. They painted her fully green. We got to go with method, love.
She's found dead in the bed like a bogey.
Painted the green for a novelty painted and it soon wore off.
Oh, very nice.
Poor, I felt sorry for Robot Redford. He had to be painted silver, didn't he?
Poor Robot Redford. Anyway, that was the lady without camellias. And finally, 2 minutes past 11, which really annoys me.
Right.
Why is something on at 2 minutes past 11?
Yeah. The lady with comedians for overrun.
It's late night lineup.
Oh.
To round off the day with Michael Dean, Joan Bakewell, and Dennis Tuhoy.
Love it. I love the fact that Joan Bakewell is still presenting television now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. She's incredible.
Big fan of her cakes.
I love her. And that was your television entertainment.
But
why?
When you keep watching this, the Space Museum, episode one called The Space Museum, we begin in media res.
Yay!
Proper TARDIS materialisation.
Yeah.
With the noises as well. Lovely.
Well, before that, we've got them in their Crusades costumes.
Yes.
Slowly fading into their normal costumes.
Mm. Sort of mildly suggesting the Doctors have something to do with it. Yeah. Like, hang on a minute.
Why we
can't remember.
Yeah.
And we're in different clothes.
Now I'm in different clothes. And the doctor's like, and he should go, hang on a minute. Have you done something?
Oh, God.
I don't know you that well. Have you been doing stuff to us?
Yeah. Oh,
I just wrote that this episode already looks like they've done a one minute silence for the previous story.
Well, that was quite that embarrassing. Happened.
What was the last story? The Crusades or something?
Crusades, yeah.
The doctor's special pills.
Take these. It's good for radiation.
Yeah. You'll sleep through all the tattooing, what?
Yeah. So,
Doctor, those pills have really made my bum hurt.
Yeah.
Well,
can we say, is this Hartnell's most giggliest episode?
It's a very giggly episode.
Doesn't fucking stop in this one, does he?
No.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he has a break, though. He has a break for an episode.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he has a lovely break.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. But yeah, yeah, it said in the Wikipedia that he had a pre-booked week off. Like he's working in an office.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to Chislehurst.
Okay, you're the star of one of BBC One's biggest shows. Yeah. But no, you take time off.
To be fair, Wogan used to go on holiday, didn't he?
Did he?
Wogan used to go, and he'd have Sue Lawley or Kenneth Williams
like,
stood in.
Get me Lawley, she'll fill in. All tails off playing golf. Avanti, motherfuckers! And off he'd go.
Yeah.
You can't argue a toe, innit? Can't argue a tail.
It was they were long.
Do Wogan every day as well. That must have been exhausting.
So
for
that was
man.
When the BBC had gone Wogan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's yeah. He so anyway. So they all get their normal clothes on, and Vicky goes to get a glass of water.
Yeah.
From the machine, from the space machine. Even though a tap would be
would be fine. Yeah.
But it slips from her grasp and smashes upon the ground.
Shit.
But then it
rewinds. Yeah.
Also, can I, in her defence, maybe the space tap tasted better than normal water.
That is true.
Maybe it was like a soda stream.
What's the tastiest water you've ever had?
Bloody good question.
Yeah. Ruddy bloody good.
I think maybe Evian. Very tasty.
I had a delicious glass of water in the Dadoin.
Ooh.
About 95. very refreshing.
Mm. All right, I'll ask you this. Mm. Worst water.
Well, people don't like London water, do they? Because it's very hard water.
Yeah.
But I'm so used to hard water now. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. Listeners. But I'm so used to hard water now that when I go to soft water regions, I can't stand it.
Really?
Here's another question. Yeah. What's your second favourite water?
Your favourite body of water to swim in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's quite nice.
Once drank Buxton water in Buxton from a stream.
From Adam Buxton.
From Adam Buxton's.
Saving Adam Buxton's
teat.
Life.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then he said, ramble chat. Right. They land on a planet.
They do.
But mysterious things are afoot.
Already is.
Well,
mental.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this planet, all I could think of was Millennium Dome.
Yes.
I mean, that's effectively what the Space Museum is. Or the Doctor Who experience.
Yes. Well, it's like Millennium Dome, and you're, do you want to go and see a shit Blackadder? Not very good.
Do you want to queue up to walk through an ankle? Come to the Millennium Dome experience.
Oh, good.
That Blackadder, it's telling that new Blackadder isn't on the new box set that's just coming out.
Is it not?
Yeah, even they're like, no, we're not having it.
Is that a licensing thing, or do you think, or have they just sort of brushed it under?
Yeah. He's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember it, to be honest. I just remember it being people going and sort of going, oh, okay.
I watched it when it was on Sky a few years later, I think, and it was just fucking bad. No fun.
The old dome has certainly sort of had a new lease of life with, its new job of killing Michael Jackson.
Getting Madonna sued for being 2 hours late or whatever she was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in there.
So, yeah.
Why are they doing it?
Well, the TARDIS has probably brought them there.
Why are the people there
doing
the Space Museum? It doesn't look like it's open for the public.
God.
It doesn't look like they're that interested in the exhibits.
Mm.
Why are they doing it?
You know, there's that Coogan's Run episode where he runs like a museum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many
Little Otley.
How many visitors do you have today? 99! Really?
Go on.
It's like no one likes it.
No one seems to like it.
No.
There's no one there.
Yeah.
It's usually on a really desolate, out of the way, fucking up planet in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They seem quite aggressive about it as well.
Very aggressive.
I don't know why they're doing
it. It's a bunch of young people who live in the museum.
I don't know. How does that work?
No.
You can't even touch an exhibit, let alone sleep on it.
Yeah.
So, I just don't understand their raison d'etre.
There's a lot of things that sort of indicate things are amiss.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they don't leave footprints. It's very quiet. How is the light getting there? Well, as William Hartnell explains, fluorescence.
Yes, he tries to say fluorescence, doesn't he? Fluorescence.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Bless.
Bless him.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
There's a Dalek on display as well. There's a Dalek on display.
Yeah, they're shocked by the Dalek from Starro. And that could have been a fun thing. They could, yeah. They, you know, sort of have could've. More... Could have.
I kind of like this just there and not doing anything. For a start, it gives you a good shock when you see it.
That is true.
Yeah. You think it's going to be a real one.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I just don't think it's like... I think there's an idea, but then there's 3.5 episodes of... No idea.
Yes, I think...
There's a lot of stuff for a ship museum that no one goes to.
Yeah. This first episode is really good.
Yeah.
It's like you're going, what's going on?
Yeah,
are they invisible? Are they really there? I don't know what's going on. And you like, you want that to happen more, but it doesn't.
The overheads in this place must be insane.
Yeah,
insane. Yeah. How do you clean that place?
Well, because they're walking around. They're walking around, and two Gary Glitters walk out.
Well, no, I thought they look like when Russ Abbott was a teddy boy. That's what they all look like. Les Dennis.
I thought they looked like thin, taller Paul Shanes.
They're all in the same.
So all, yeah, in the same wheelhouse.
Vince, what's his name? Vince something. He was called in Russ Abbott. Can't remember. Well, I was going to say Vince Cable. It's not
Vince Cable.
It'd be a pun, wouldn't it?
So they're teddy boys, really.
Yeah.
They're teddy boys.
They're teddy boys that run an abandoned space museum and live in it, but don't want anyone coming.
But if it was in Hackney, it'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, Vicky sneezes.
She does.
But no one hears it.
No one hears.
They just walk right past them.
Yeah, that's very strange. They see the Dalek. That's very odd. And then two young mime artists come out and they have a silent conversation. They've got big old eyebrows, haven't they?
Massive eyebrows.
Yeah. Huge eyebrows.
They're from the tribe of Dennis Healy's.
That's basically what I've got written here. Dennis Healy's children in front of
He had loads of bastard children. He sent them to a planet.
Yeah.
So no one would know about them.
It's actually what Cecil Parkinson did.
Well, are you right? Yeah.
Some 80s humour.
That's good.
Yeah. So then they see the bloody TARDIS is an exhibit.
Oh my God.
What is happening?
Oh my days, oh my stars.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they try and put their hand through it and they can't. It's just see-through.
Tell you what, for 1965, that's a good effect.
Yeah.
Really good effect.
Yeah. Quite scary. Yeah. Mm. But then the crux of it all, they see themselves as exhibits.
That's really cool.
Yeah
it's quite cool. Really cool.
It's great.
You're like, scary. Wow, okay, yeah, this all makes sense. It's all like, this is really fun stuff. Yeah, I'm sold.
I'm surprised that not one of them, when they realise that they're effectively invisible, none of them decided to run around with no trousers on. And waggle their knobs in people's faces.
Yeah.
Doing little willycopters.
Yeah.
Doing
willycopters. Right in someone's face.
Yeah, right there.
Because that's what the ghosts are doing.
Resting your balls in their soup.
Yeah.
You might not know it. It's like, you know, they tell you that there's little mites that live on your head, on your face. You don't know. There's probably right now, there's probably a ghost running around this room waggling his knob at us.
Yeah, well, there will be. There'll be ghosts farting in our mouths.
Yeah.
We don't know.
There's a Penny Dreadful sketch they used to do, which was they said the Invisible Man's escaped. And then one of them would come out completely naked dancing around. And they would have to ignore him.
I wonder which one it was.
But they see themselves as exhibits.
They do, frightening.
They look at the little sign on the thing that says, an awful, it says, four cunts. Well, come on.
For 1965, rather right language.
It really was.
Comes up on the screen next episode, four cunts.
But it's okay, they spell it with a K.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be some sort of alien planet.
Yeah, the aliens. That's the name of the aliens.
It's what they call Earth.
Yeah, the cunts. Honestly.
Yeah. And the Doctor realises that there must have been a time slip.
He realises that very quickly.
He does.
Straight away. And then he says, best thing for us to do is stand around and do fuck all and wait for time to catch up with us.
The logic of this doesn't, because they've already arrived, because they're already exhibits.
They're
so when he says we need to wait for ourselves to arrive, I don't know who he's waiting for. Anyway, Then, yeah. apparently the TARDIS is discovered by the teddy boy, Russ Abbott.
Yeah.
not the younger Marlene Dietrich.
No.
No.
Falling into love again, what am I to do?
They can't help it. I can't help it.
Venus Nurtle. Sorry.
Their footprints, which previously hadn't been there, suddenly appear.
Yes. That's cool. I like that.
And William Hartnell realises we have arrived. End of part one.
Wow.
Part two.
Part one's really good.
Yeah, dimensions in dimensions in of time.
The cunts. I was thinking
the
that.
Four cunts.
The four cunts. AKA dimensions in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Got any cunts? Four cunts.
Cunts no. for forks.
Cunts for forks. What? There's no such thing as cunts for forks. You got any pricks?
Fox hunt. No, it doesn't work. So
hunts for facts.
Yeah. Then the Russ Abbotts are having a discussion about
Songs
their...
Songs of Joy.
Songs of Joy, Tears of Laughter. Are all guy, we need.
The guy playing the lead, yes. Morak,
mm-hmm.
he can't act for shit, can he?
No.
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from Morak, aren't they?
Morak.
They're talking Moroks. Mm. And
it's too similar to Morlock.
Yeah.
H.G. Wells, too similar.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Also, Hartnell can't say the word staring either.
Oh, could he not?
Is he's just deciding. No wonder he needs his fucking holiday.
apparently, he was in poor health.
Was he in poor health?
Oh, no. There's a bit where he gets gripped and pulled through a door.
Yeah.
Apparently, they wanted him to use a stuntman because he wasn't very well, but he insisted on doing it, and apparently he shouldn't have.
Oh, was it the Charlie Drake thing again?
19 splinters in his brain.
Yeah.
Had a doorbell up his ass. Every time he sat down in the canteen, ding dong.
They didn't stop. They attached him to a car, and the car didn't. They forgot to tell it to stop, so he just got dragged around.
Dragged for ages.
They asked him, if they'd test out Frank Spencer's roller skate sequence first, and he said yes.
Yes.
And they realised it was the last thing he should have done. Fucking hell!
Yeah, no wonder he needed a holiday.
Yeah.
Ian's lost a button.
Ian has lost a button.
Yeah. This feels a bit like padding.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. I've lost a button.
Lost a button.
See here, Doctor, I've lost a button.
And then, so they're not sure if the exhibits had a button and if that's in the future. It's a bit, And they realise that they can sort of, they can't find their way out of the museum, but then they realise that they can use Barbara's cardigan.
Now, this is what I was going to just say. Ian's lost a button.
Yeah.
He also thinks you can tear a woolen jumper apart with your teeth.
Yeah.
Which I don't like the idea of biting down wool.
No, it's like chalkboard. It's like nails on chalkboard, isn't it?
And he puts it right in his mouth. He's like, oh, give it here.
Give it here.
What are you doing,
he just wants to see a topless or something? Yeah. Is that, it's not the appropriate time, Ian.
It's so weird. Well, the fact that he bites her cardigan apart and doesn't break eye contact with her, I think it's really sinister.
Also, biting your cardigan sounds like code for something. I don't want to know what it is.
Think of England.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing like grannies would say when they're gossiping about someone. Oh, he's the sort of type who'll bat a cardigan. Yeah.
What? What does that even mean?
What's
interesting is he mentions the Minotaur.
The Minotaur.
Which is interesting for another episode we've got coming up in this run.
Yes.
The Doctor gets grabbed from behind, doesn't he?
He does. He gets grabbed.
He gets separated.
This is the stunt he shouldn't have done, apparently.
He shouldn't have done it.
Oh, please.
I know.
It's not that mad.
Well, you say that. We only saw him go through the door. They actually threw him out of a window.
Threw him off an 80-foot ledge.
I'd love it. It's like, you know, like when Kenny Everett, it's like a ragdoll.
Yeah. And then it cuts when he gets to the bottom.
Yeah.
Actually threw him onto an explosion.
Weirdly, it was the other way around for Hartnell. It was him. Then he lands.
And it cut to a dummy.
Maybe he did the whole thing. Maybe he also can fall onto roofs.
Yeah.
Fall up onto
like
a roof.
Like Roy Hudd.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yep. So the Doctor is captured.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Have I missed out the...
He lays on the floor and pretends to be dead.
He does the end of the floor and pretend to be dead.
Yeah.
And then he escapes. We don't really see him use his fisticuffs to... get away.
It is implied that he has beat. Duffed him up.
Yeah.
Is this when he went on holiday then?
No, that's the next episode. So he...
Do you think... it's Hartnell. I just think he's just need him straight in the balls. Bang. And then spat in his eyes.
He's probably done that thing where he punches the nose through the brain.
Yeah.
Awful.
So one of the Ray Riordan's just like, paralyzed.
Ray Riordan.
And then Hartnell pisses on him.
In his eye socket. In his eye socket. While eating his eyeball.
Oh. Taps his penis on his Ray Reardon's nose. Giggling. Anyway, then he goes and hides in a Dalek.
Then he goes and hides in a Dalek.
This is wonderful, isn't it?
It's lovely, isn't it? But also, it does slightly bust the myth of, like, oh, what's inside the Dalek? It's just a little wooden hatch you can see.
It's quite easy to get into a Dalek.
It's really easy to get into a Dalek.
Yeah, buy a few drinks first if you don't want anything.
Try white wine for me, please.
Dinner first. I'm not a slag.
I'm vegan.
And then then Hartnell goes mad in the Dalek. He goes around killing everyone, doesn't he? And he just he's like, I see where they're doing now.
I love it.
he puts his willy through the hole with the plunger.
So the Morlocks are looking for them.
It's true.
Morlocks. And Ian uses a trail.
The trail of thread.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they run out of thread very quickly, don't they? This place is huge.
Yeah.
It's like a bloody blooming maze.
It's like a maze in here.
Yeah.
The Doctor gets trapped to a chair and does sort of a mastermind thing.
Oh, this is great.
Because he shows
Russ Abbott.
Yeah.
This is when he meets Governor Lobos.
Yeah, right. Lobos.
He's the guy in charge.
And they're trying to sort of mind bother him.
Yeah.
But he's too powerful for it, and he can project his own images.
Yeah.
Because the Doctor willingly sits down, doesn't he, and gets captured.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, actually, there's a little bit during this exchange, because it's just the way they've lit Hartnell, but he looks exactly like Kane in Poltergeist 2.
Really. Oh, yeah, you're right. How's your little girl? he shows a penny farthing, which is funny.
Yeah.
And then he shows a picture of him that looks like he's in the nip.
Yeah.
It looks like a nude Hartnell kind of going, ooh.
Tiny naked Hartnell.
And he's laughing about it.
Tiptoeing around.
I love the fact that that would be a day where they go, Bill, you've got to get in your Speedos for the picture. And he's like, he doesn't know what episode it's for. What's happening.
He hasn't properly read the script.
No.
What? You want me to be in the fucking nip? Yes.
Just a photo. And then, okay, right.
You're going to be something. Stood there with his hand around his cock and balls at the Medici Studios. Really cold. Can we get on with it?
I feel like he's just been liberated.
Yeah.
Oh, please. What's this one for?
Warming his balls on a radiator. Come on!
But the Doctor and the Dalek, though, thinking about it, reminds me a bit. It makes me think of a bit of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Getting in the skin of someone. Imagine Hartnell looking in the mirror going, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Put the lotion in the basket.
It puts the old man in the Dalek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Doctor in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor is to be taken into the preparation room.
Uh-oh.
Which there's preparation room A, move to H. He's been sent to preparation H.
Yeah.
So now he's on holiday, isn't he?
He's on holiday, so he's off. He's got his lump.
He's down to Margate now.
Yeah, he's literally, in some scenes, he's got a lump poly catalogue in his hand.
He's got some traveller's check.
Yeah.
And one of those rubber rings around his waist. Flippers on.
Kiss me quick hat. And a straw donkey.
String vest. Yeah.
flicking through it all the time. His console.
Another reference for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lump Polly. He's got his previous true print photos that he's going through. Oh, that one didn't come out.
This one will make a superb enlargement.
He's probably using up the roll, isn't he?
Yeah.
Plane.
I'm just using up the roll now.
Lamppost.
Yeah. His cock. Yeah. 14 times.
Tell kids that these days, that you have to use up the roll.
Yeah.
They wouldn't believe you.
They would not believe you.
What, my iPhone roll? And you're like, no.
You can't do that.
It wasn't infinite back then.
No.
No.
Part 3, The Search.
Yeah.
For William.
Yeah. The search for William on holiday.
You get a sticker on your true print photos that didn't come out right. Yeah. Going, this one didn't come out right.
Mm. Yeah, not our fault.
No. Yeah.
Don't blame us.
They'd be like, you can't take photos.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's out of focus.
Just remember the sticker? It was really, really lovely to peel off. Mm. It was a little oval egg shaped, like, that's idiot. Right. Oh. Sorry.
Mm. Oh, and there'd be some. Oh, I took that in my pocket, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. The Morlocks find the companions. Ian is very brave and faces off against one of the Morlocks.
Yeah.
Beats him up, because that's up. I always forget how handy Ian
very
is.
Handy.
Fights the guard, doesn't
he? Well, he's an inner city teacher, so he's a bit handy, don't
you? Yeah,
he does have a full-on scrap, doesn't he? Like, fucking wants off. Yeah. He's handy, isn't he?
Pretty awful.
This is for Fat Man and Blunder Blobbing. Rubbish, Russ.
Yeah.
Blunder Woman.
Blunder Woman.
Yeah, fat suit. Russ Abbott was dying. It's like he'd found his ultimate joke, and it wasn't funny, but he'd do it. Royal Variety, he'd come out as a fat Mountie, just jump around the stage.
That would
you're supposed to think that was the height of amusement.
Frantic Planet, friend of the show, did a Russ Abbott video, and one of the sketches he does is he sings Minnie the Moocher in a fat suit,
right?
And that is it.
Right.
That is the entire...
I just think the writing room, Russ Abbott, was like, well, I've written this sketch about you. Go, fat suit. No, it wouldn't work, fat suit. Trust me, fat suit.
Yeah, what are you doing it? I just cavort around. Right. Just, anything else happened in the sketch? No.
I've written this really complicated sketch. Minnie the Moocher, fat suit. Right, pub. Yeah.
One bar stool I sit on, still collapses.
Still collapses. And then Bella Enberg comes out.
Yeah.
We're going to also put her in a fat suit.
Yeah, so she's fatter.
Fat suit.
Poor David Renwick was there for the two Ronnies. This is a sketch that works backwards and forwards, and it's funnier if you watch it in
fat
reverse.
Suit. He's like, fat suit. What about Bella? Put her in a thin suit. What do you mean? Want something that's smaller than her? Cut her in half and put her in a suit. Russ, are you all right?
Bella Renwick's been in New Who, I think.
She's been in everything, Bella.
Yeah.
She's in the grave now.
She's
is that drama?
It's like sort of Glee. She's in Mel Brooks' History of the World.
Really?
With Andrew Sachs. That's so funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Andrew Sachs, Cloris Leachman. Of course. Andrew Saxophone.
Andrew Sachs.
Last thing he said was,
he died.
He's from the brass section.
Yes.
He also lived on Baker Street.
Do that for every tube station. Where are we going? We're going to Leicester Square.
No, Andrew.
Stop it, Andrew.
Vicky's captured by one of the eyebrow children.
Who's called?
What is he called?
Well, isn't he played by...
He's played by Boba Fett.
Yes.
Yay! Yes, it's Boba Fett.
And his name is Tor.
They're all very young and earnest, aren't they?
Every museum needs a good tour guide.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Very good.
I wonder if that's on purpose.
But they're all like, gosh, I think we might be some sort of slaves or something. Yeah. Golly.
Where do they sleep? That's all I want to know.
They can't even sleep near the exhibit. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, they're basically goths, aren't they? So they probably just sleep in a very dark little room.
Yeah.
Or they might just download sleep or something.
Yeah. Download it young later. And they're planning a revolution.
Yeah.
It looks like they've been planning it a while and not doing it.
Yeah. Well,
standard fucking Doctor Who trope. As soon as a doctor turns up, they go, let's do it now.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
People's front of Judea, isn't it?
It really
exactly.
much is, yeah.
So, and then Ian is overpowers one of the Morlocks, but the Morlocks take Ian to the embalming chamber.
Yes.
The balmy chamber.
The balmy chamber.
Absolutely balmy in here.
And that's where they find out what this is, which is they've turned the whole planet into a museum, which is a celebration of all their wars.
Which, again, great idea.
Yeah.
Not executed in any kind of...
Not at all. It should be this museum where you can come and watch our exhibits fight to the death or something.
But it's not.
It's just...
So just thinking, if there was a balmy room, you know who'd run it?
Who?
Bloody Chris Tarrant. So I was thinking, who would use the word balmy a lot? And it's definitely balmy. Chris Tarrant.
Hello. This one's absolutely balmy.
There you go.
Tell you what, you're balmy, you are. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a
no one else would use that word with such
Please watch Chris Tarrant's Great Railway Train documentaries on Channel 5. They're amazing.
Are they?
No, that's the dullest thing I've ever seen in my life. What a lovely train. And then, thank you, when he gets off. What a lovely train. Yeah. God, that was nice. A nice train. Thank you. What a lovely train. Four series.
Wow.
I remember there was an episode of
Barbie.
It Wants to Be a Millionaire, where they had a contestant who had or was thalidomide. I don't know if that's what it's called now.
Right.
And Chris Tarrant went out of his way to put his arm, like, be like, I'm so fine with you.
No.
I'm so comfortable with you.
No.
And he was putting his arm around him, doing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, God, this really, really felt very performative from Tarrant there.
You do shock me. Very performative man.
That's absolutely balmy. Yeah.
Doesn't his wife despise him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
is that based on anything, or is that?
It's because he likes trains and fishing and nothing else.
Yeah. No, I've just made that up. She thinks he's absolutely balmy.
So yeah, they should have had a very young Tarrant walk you through. Yeah. The Space Museum's absolutely balmy.
Vicky discovers the reason that they haven't done their big revolution is because all of the guns are hidden behind.
Oh yeah,
are hidden in a little room.
Yes,
with a lock.
With a special kind of lock.
No, this,
a logic lock.
This isn't any old lock. This is a brain lock.
Again, nice idea, but... Yeah.
Done pathetically.
You've got to answer all the questions correctly and honestly.
Yes.
And they'll want things like, what's your code? And all that stuff. And I'm sure there's easier ways of doing it. You just have a key, but we have one to get in the studio.
Yeah.
Whereas, so Barbara's like, no, not Barbara, sorry, Vicky's like, I'm going to work out a way that we can circumvent this.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to cheat this thing.
I'm going to hack it.
Hack it, exactly.
And and she does it as well. She manages to do it. And the last thing the computer asks is, Mrs. Sutter's heart might be in the right place. And she goes, well, Charlie's on.
Hey!
They're in.
Fat suit.
Yeah, the door opens. Standard Ronnie's instinct. Yeah.
Very good.
How does she know how to do this bit anyway?
Vicar comes in and she goes, this is a good machine, this. And he goes, yeah, it's good. I'm the fucking thought of it.
Then Ronnie Barker's like, Gerald Wiley needs a really big shit.
There's Sherman Ray Reardon.
Bloody Gerald Wiley's been on the phone again asking for more beer and nuts to be sent to his P.O. box address. Yeah. What a horrible, demanding writer it is.
One day, ashen-faced Ronnie Barker comes in. They're like, you're right, I caught him fucking my wife.
Gerald Wiley was in bed with my wife.
And he's
internally thinking, I'm not lying.
No.
Yeah,
I was in bed with my wife.
Gerald Wiley's fucking my wife.
Call me that. You need fucking help. You're crazy. You're balmy.
Tell you what, there's never been
balmy.
How many dramas have there been about Eric and Ernie?
Yeah.
How many have there been about the two Ronnies?
Well, it wasn't Fight Club originally about Gerard Wiley.
That's about Gerard Wiley.
Hamburger Hill is also the early Gerard Wiley.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Ronnie Barker's Day Off is also, people reckon that might be Gerard Wiley.
Well,
he drives Ronnie's Ferrari out the window.
Try to bring it back in one shape. In one piece.
See, Ronnie Corby is so tight. If you put a diamond up his ass. No, if you put a lump of coal up his ass, then we could have a diamond. Excuse me, I mispronunciate my worms.
Mispronunciate and sound like tits. Look confused and look left.
Life
I reckon
moves.
Gerald wrote that one.
Yeah.
What, the one that only he does by himself?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here to side you say chests.
Life moves pretty fast. And if don't slow down.
Mind your P's and Q's and look at her big boobs. Every single thing is weird. A rather large, large-breasted woman.
I want a documentary about them. No, a documentary, of drama.
A drama.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, a really good scene where like Ronnie's at Heth. I can't work with this anymore.
That's right. I want that. Yeah. I also want the bit where Ronnie agrees to meet Gerald Wiley in the underground car park. Like, not all the president's men.
Yeah, yeah.
His deep throat.
His little Cuban heels on.
Yeah, yeah.
He hands him a sketch. I wrote this last night. Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
I'm over here. I wrote this sketch about candles last night. Hand it in.
Meets a silhouetted man. Pissed to meet you. Oh, it's you.
It's you.
It's you.
Gerald Wiley gives Ronnie Barker a hand job in one of the scenes. Very weird.
They have to really lock eye contact in. Like, do it quick. Why do they have to do this? But they do. On the insistence of Roy Hudd.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a crossbow aimed at them.
I do think the impression that Roy Hudd was a force of malevolence. Roy... He seemed too nice.
Roy Hudd?
Yeah. He seemed too nice. There's got to be something going on there.
My granddad was a huge Roy Hudd fan.
I think everybody
Hudd lines, yeah.
I got bear hugged by him once.
Oh,
bear Hudd.
Nice. He was big, big bear of a man.
Yeah, yeah.
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 He was in a Dennis Potter play, film. Mm. Lipstick on your collar.
Sir Harry Harry Potter. It's
Harry.
Naked Harry Potter, covered in burns, reflects on his life.
Mr. Sandman.
That's
Dumbledore's song.
Singing detective, very formative for young me.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the sexy
lots
lady
of sex
in it?
Lots of sex.
Lots.
Who was the sexy lady in it?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Usually there's like a Jenny Agutter or this.
Oh, I see. Yeah, one of the nurses. Stands that sort out. Of thing.
Julie Walters was in it, but I don't think she was the sexy lady.
Two detectives. That's what she was saying.
Two timelines.
Yeah.
Two catheters. Two sponge baths.
You just reminded me now, we're talking about Harry Potter, a game that Jeremy Lim and I loved to play. Is, you know, McGonagall has when she, you know, when they go into could you two do the
we
Harry Potter
do, yeah, yeah.
When they go to Dumbledore's office, they have to go things like sherbet lemon.
Oh yeah,
and then it opens. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's normally a sweetie. Mm-hmm. So Jeremy and I like to play this game where one of us is talking. Well, I'm McGonagall talking to a wizard, and you've got to construct a story that's a bit ribald and naughty, with the sweet itself being the thing that opens the door.
We played this in New Year.
We played it. Yes, so things like so it would be things like. I'm trying to think of a really good one. Like, Lala, so young Lala fell over during Quidditch and the ball went right up his, and then you've got to turn to the door and then go, hula hoops, and you're in. So it's a long-winded way of saying it. It's a really good game to play.
It is fun.
Really good, really good game to play. So, game by Waddington's. McGonagall's Naughty Sweets.
This episode ends with Ian walking into a room and going, oh no, doctor, but we don't see the doctor.
No, we don't see a thing.
He's not lying, though, is he? Oh, no, doctor.
Studying himself on the beach. Part four, the final phase, we'll just run through this.
Yeah.
The doctor is defrosted, thank goodness. Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah.
And his brain is fine. My brain...
It's not, though, is it? He can't speak. Can't remember any fucking words.
I love he says, my brain was working at the speed of a mechanical computer.
Yeah, one from 1965. Steam driven.
Yeah, yeah.
Why have I got Hartnell's dressed as like Vito Sassoon fucking a potbelly pig?
Oh, when you see it, isn't he a bit like The Voice? Doesn't he turn around in a chair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to hear more of this young Ian fellow. I had the time of my life.
And I owe it all to Doctor Who.
Turns around.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
He's got a Tom Jones beard.
The Doctor and Ian are captured, but then the young people with their guns that they got from Vicky, they're revolution.
Revolution!
It's revolution!
Let's have a revolution.
Do they mean an art revolution or the vodka bar?
Yeah.
With the I think the museum could do with a vodka bar.
My God. Like a visitor.
By the way, all Barbara's done in episode 3 and 4 is be gassed.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All the time, just being gassed.
Ian shouldn't have had those sprouts.
Loads at least the doctor and the DC to go into the Dalek and do it.
Doctor, I think the Daleks are using some sort of poison gas. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Yes. And a brown, and there's a brown slug.
That's what they look like inside.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd leave it a minute. Opening the
Dalek
lid.
Reminds me of the very funny Viz script, Dr. Pooh.
Of course.
That one where he was travelling time and space to have a dump. Everywhere he went, a monster from Doctor Who would turn up.
Yeah.
So at one point he goes to have a shit on the beach and the sea devils come out.
Yeah.
And eventually he uses the Dalek toilet on Skaros.
Of course.
And then the last strip of the Dalek shouting, fucking hell, it stinks, someone light a match. Classic.
So there's revolution, isn't there?
Revolution. Boba Fett rescues Vicky. Doctor finds a tiny stick that was causing all the trouble, apparently. Yes. It was this all along.
Yeah.
What?
They are overthrown.
Yeah,
Thank goodness. And everything's fine. And the doctor's like, well, we've done our job. And they go off. Doctor steals something from the museum. The doctor's like, I'm going to take the space-time visualizer. That's mine.
Well, no, he's given it.
Oh, is he giving it as a gift?
It to
oh,
well,
okay.
No, I think he takes it and then they go, do you want that? And he goes, yes. And they go, well, that's what's for helping us. You can have it. He's like, yes, that's what I was planning. But I think he was trying to nick it.
Yes. It wasn't. You have to sort of be offered it, Doctor. You have to.
I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, if stuff isn't fucking nailed down, he's having it. Ridiculous.
Meanwhile, on Skaro, their departure is noted by a Dalek.
Uh-oh.
So the next episode is
The Chase.
The Chase.
Which we've done.
Because they watch the Space Time Visualizer. They use that to watch the Beatles, don't they? Yeah.
Mm.
That's very fun. They watch
so the now we've gone, so just before we, why did they have a space museum and what were they doing?
It was to celebrate their wars. But I assume at some point they killed the Dalek.
I don't get the impression from the Ray Reardons that they were handy.
Not really. They're not very good, are they?
Very good.
No.
Anyway.
And I am sure, the museum doesn't seem to be that big.
No.
I know that it's like a set and there's only so much they can do, but they don't sort of do anything. Like with the Ark, you get the idea that it's this enormous thing, whereas here is it just looks like a few rooms, doesn't it?
It's like a provincial museum.
Yeah.
Like a pencil museum or something.
Yes.
the Keswick Pencil Museum.
The Keswick Pencil Museum.
Spice Museum in Sprouston.
Spice Museum on Dune.
I'm just going by Partridge. All the people who fired had gone to the Spice Museum.
The Jorvik Viking Centre, where you can smell Viking smells.
I've been to the Jorvik Viking.
Was it good?
No.
There's a thing called Gulliver's or something, which is based on Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, nice. I say most museums are rubbish.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think unless they've got animals in them. Or skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like skulls.
A skull.
Looking at skulls and fossils.
Looking at skulls. You want to go to the British Museum.
Mind you, I took my kids to the Natural History Museum. This is when they're in the midst of their Minecraft obsession. Mm. And all they wanted to go and do is look at the rocks.
Oh, okay.
All Minecraft.
That's...
Near me, the Horniman Museum is very good.
Oh, yes,
I like that. It's got loads of jazz mags in it.
the entrance to the museum's under a hedge. Yes. I've been to the Horniman. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's lovely. Got the walrus that then they stuffed, not knowing walrus is meant to have wrinkles. And so it's very smooth.
Is that Ian the walrus?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he's a really smooth walrus, isn't he? Yes, it looks like a licorice comfit.
What are we going to score this out of?
100 Russ Abbott fat suit. There
you go. Perfect.
Russ Abbott fat suit. I love it when people try to guess what they're going to be. They'll say 50 Dalek shells out of
100 Heidegger Daleks.
Nope. Russ Abbott fat suit.
No. I'm gonna put down a wager.
Okay.
Oh, go
before
on.
Tom starts.
Yeah.
All right.
This is going to get in the high 70s. Just putting that wager down now. Tom,
listen. Yes. We could physically drop episodes of Doctor Who onto Tom, beat him to death with props from it, and he go, 80. Yeah.
Tom.
So, I said secretly that this is one I thought I hadn't seen it. I'd seen it once.
Right.
I'd only ever seen it once, so rewatching it was a real treat.
Of course.
It was made in...
That was me pretending to leave.
Yeah. This was made in 1965. I'm going to give it 65. It is fun. And we're going to have in this session, in a few weeks, if you're listening to this, as you would be, there is one that I think is just an out and out, not good story that suffered a lot. I'd say that.
Oh my God.
Can't wait.
Which I still loved.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Always got that caveat.
Yeah,
64.
Yeah. 108.
But this one, there are some big questions stuff, but it zipped along. You don't miss the Doctor in episode 3.
Don't miss him when he's there.
What do you guys think? Okay.
Paul.
I really like episode 1.
Okay.
Because you're like, what's going on? This is really interesting. I like the fact you can now hear the TARDIS when it appears, which is lovely. And I think episode 1's really good fun. It's just they abandon the idea of it because they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes really pedestrian, the normal. Right. Mm-hmm. Separate them all. The Doctor, I mean, again, let's sit down and do nothing. Let's get captured to do nothing. Now let me just stand in a box because I'm on holiday and do nothing. Yeah. It's fine. Episode 1's great. Mm. I think it's only 4 episodes, but it really sometimes I'm like, just come on. It's fine. It's neither crap nor is it brilliant. It's a 50 for me, right in the middle.
50.
50 fat suited.
Russ Abbott.
I really like the concept. As I said earlier, it wasn't done very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Morlocks are terrible.
Yeah.
They look shit. They can't act. They're not threatening at all. Yeah. They don't do anything that makes you think, oh, they're Andy.
No.
I liked the train spotting poster when they see themselves in the museum.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
Sick boy.
Yeah.
Doctor's sick boy.
Literally was. It's just, yeah, it's just a lot of nothing, isn't it? Mm. And it's not this era's fault, because it's just something Doctor Who has done forever and still does, where you have one faction against another faction.
Oh.
They arrive in the middle of it.
That's but this one just 60% feels, of every Doctor Who story.
Yeah, but this one just feels so kind of limp.
Yeah.
What everyone's motivations are.
Mm.
And the Doctor could have quite easily not been there, and this revolution would have probably happened one day.
They just needed to find a way of getting into that gun store, which they did with relative ease, thanks to Vicky.
Relative ease.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it 39.
So 154, which is still quite high. Middling,
okay.
It's middling, isn't it? Yeah. Do we have any correspondence?
We do, but I didn't get it ready because I was so intrigued.
Let's fill. I'm going to fill.
You fill.
Go, Phil.
Okay. Hello, everyone. What a wonderful train.
Hey, I'm ready.
Hey.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Oh, absolutely bum.
See you later.
Stephen Allen says, I might be influenced by Paul's impersonation, but the fella leading the Monarchs looks like Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in one person.
Ooh.
Very visual.
We're the future, Charles, not them.
Is that what they say?
Is that what they say?
Was it arrives exactly
when he wishes to... Excuse me.
Bilbo, you cunt.
We're the future, Charles, not them.
I've just had a text from my mother asking about a piece of news that was news yesterday. So.
Oh. Oh, that's good.
That's good.
What does she think about this episode?
She just messaged me saying, Jürgen Klopp's resigned.
Yeah.
To be honest, Jürgen Klopp's a good Doctor Who character name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
And that's a Jürgen Klopp.
You could have the Klopps.
Yeah, the Klopps. Yeah, versus the
Jürgens. The will of the Klopps. Nick Burden says, Space Museum. Mm. Such a great idea and opening story. If only they had stopped at the end of part one.
Oh, yeah.
We're left with the tedium so huge, Hartnell had to go on holiday. 10 Dalek impressions out of 100. I'm sorry, it's Russ Abbott. Fats hoots.
Yeah.
Ben Thomas.
Oh no.
Glyn Johns, the writer of this lopsided dropped flan of a story, was the only person to hold a writing and acting credit for classic Doctor Who.
Mm.
10 years after this, he'd be stumbling over Dartmoor and the Sontaran experiment with Tom Baker. He was reportedly unhappy with the Space Museum, as he'd written it as an out comedy.
Yeah.
The script editor cut out most of the humour, as he felt it jarred with the sci-fi premise.
Mm.
As well as acting and writing plays, books, and an Oscar-nominated screenplay, the South African-born Jones was also a stage director and worked with Kenneth Branagh and future Doctor Paul McGann when they were students at RADA. The Space Museum is easily the least interesting thing about him. Pope Mope says, Space Museum is exciting as having a Barclays bank over the shipping forecast. Oh, I see.
Oh,
hard
man.
To know what Hartnell's worst is, this or the Sensorites.
We haven't done the Sensorites yet.
Done that yet.
It's probably about 15 parts. You always tell when it's an interesting episode, because this is the last piece of correspondence. Al Knapp.
Yeah.
Oh dear, it's tedious. One of those chores to wade through to be a completist. Hartnell dicking about in a Dalek owns that 15 has he pissed off on holiday for a whole episode again. Out of 100. End of
wow, well, thank you, everyone. And to our, I just want to say to our Patreons, thank you so much.
We're all Barbie.
We're all absolutely Barbie. We really appreciate you giving your hard earned money to us so we can be in these studios and give you episodes of Doctor Who. That felt insincere, didn't it?
Sounded very sincere. It sounded absolutely blimey.
No, thank you very much. We really do appreciate it. And we've got more sort of extra content coming.
I have
ordered a DVD.
Oh.
Which I'm very excited about it arriving.
Oh, is this your idea you mentioned the other day?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I'm very excited about that. And I think that'll make good content, even though I hate that word.
Yeah.
But... yes, we really do appreciate it, so thank you very much, and we hope you like these coming out early as well, and we really appreciate your feedback. There's more multi-part episodes coming as well, and we will, I think, still do every single what was on that day.
Even if it's identical.
Yeah. Basically, if you moan about it, we'll keep doing it. that's the
If it's identical, we'll keep on doing it. But until that auspicious occasion, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from both.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Yes, it's Russ Abbott's Madhouse. We're rocking and we're rolling and we're tuning into Russ Abbott's Madhouse. We're laughing and we're rooting, gonna be a lot of gooning tonight. Ooh. The party's only starting and we're moving and we're grooving together. We're gonna raise the rafters, wanna hear a lot of
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.